Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 13 lines from the top of the Amid. You will notice a Mishnah toward the end of the narrow lines. We continue with the topic of saving items from a fire on Shabbos. In this case, we will focus on the saving of food. The Mishnah. Matzilin sal molei kikros. A person can save a basket full of loaves of bread, afalpi sheyesh bo mea sudos, even though there are 100 meals worth in the basket. In other words, even though on Shabbos we eat 3 meals, and one would not be expected to be allowed to do more than is necessary for Shabbos itself, nevertheless, in this case you have a basket, one basket, so that in one act of carrying you will be saving much more. That's okay. The eagle shall devela. You are also allowed to save a cake of pressed figs, even though this eagle-shelled vela has many, many more than 3 meals worth in it. The chavis shel yayin, and a barrel of wine. And naturally, the barrel of wine has much more wine in it than 3 meals worth. The omer la'achirim, and you can then proclaim or announce to others, bo'u v'hatzilu lochem. Come and save for yourselves. V'im hoyu pichin, and if they are shrewd or wise, oisin imo cheshbon achara Shabbos. They can make a calculation, some type of price assessment as to what they saved, and make some type of financial agreement with him regarding what they saved. Lahechon matzilin osan, unto where can they bring the items that they saved from the fire? In other words, we're going from a house, and naturally you would not be allowed to take it from the house into a public thoroughfare. That would be an isur doraisa, an isur hotzav, going from a private domain to a public domain. So where can you bring it? Answer, lechotzer hameureves. The first opinion is you can bring it into a courtyard that there is an eruv. An eruv creates joint ownership, which makes the chotzer like a house in your mind's eye. Legally speaking, it's considered one ownership where the homeowners around the courtyard joined together, and by each one contributing a portion of food, thereby creating a joint ownership, a unified ownership in the chotzer. Ben Becerra, this is a second opinion, Omer af l'she'eno mureves. You're allowed even to bring the items saved from the house into a, we'll say the food, into a non-co-joined chotzer. Namely, it's a chotzer where the members, the owners of it, did not create a joint ownership. Of course, what Ben Becerra is saying is we have a special, we'll say a contingency ruling, because we're dealing with a fire and the food, but even Ben Becerra would acknowledge that in general, if it were a regular Shabbos and you're dealing with regular items, you cannot carry them from a house to a chotzer that does not have an eruv. Ulashom motzi kol klei tashmisho. And unto there, he brings all his other items. All those items, Rashi says, shetzrichim lo la'oisa hayoim, all other utensils that he needs for that day, kagon koisis v'kitonios, like cups and other flasks. Continuing in the Mishnah, v'lovesh komash yochol lovosh, he, as far as clothing are concerned, he can wear whatever he can get on his body. Ve'oitev kol mashiach holatov, and cloak himself in whatever he can cloak himself. The Tanakhama then is giving you a lenient opinion relative to Rabbi Yossi, who continues, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yud Ches Kelim. That's 18. Yud Ches is 18. Is Shmona Esrei Kelim. 18 articles of clothing. Rashi points out, Yud Ches Kelim, Meforshu B'Gemorah. The Gemorah will explain them. We'll see them itemized in a brisa. Shekain Derech Lelovshon B'chol Yachad. These are the articles of clothing that a person normally wears at one time. Aval Tfei Mehochi Lo. But more than that, no. The Eino Poshton Lachsu Velubo Shalahatsi Lachirman. He has no right, according to Rabbi Yossi, to then disrobe these items of clothing when he's in the chutzah, when they go back into the house and save more. The Mishnah continues, V'chozer V'lovesh U'motzi. This would appear to be the Tanakhama, who mentioned already that he can pile on his body as much as he can wear, and then goes back into the house and puts on more clothing. The Omer Lachirim, and then he announces to others, Bo'u v'hatsilu imi, come and save together with me. The Gemara will point out the difference in language between the clothing saving and that which he announces to others, as opposed to the food saving. And we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align them, and later in the Gemara we'll get back to this. The Gemara asks, and before we continue in the Gemara, let's glance at the sign under our no say, the topic heading, Mispar Hasudo Shemuter Lahatsil, the number of food, of the amount of food that you're allowed to save. When we say the amount of food, meaning meal-wise, Gimel, that's three meals, O Yoser, or more. Umispar Bigodim, and we'll deal also with the number of clothing. The Gemara. V'hotono le Reisha. Did we not learn in the Reisha? The Reisha is a reference to Kuf Yud Zayin, back on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Gimel Sudos Vesulo, that one is entitled to save from a fire three meals worth of food and not more. So now triangles appear, and under our Mivneh heading, you'll notice in the margin, the triangle is featured. Drochim liyashev mishnosenu im ha-mishnah kodemus. These triangles appear as methods of resolving our Mishnah with the earlier Mishnah. Be'inyan mispar hasudo shemutu lahatzil, regarding the number of meals one is allowed to save. So we continue in the Gemara with the first triangle. Omar Rav Huna, lo kashya. There is no discrepancy between the two Mishnayas. Kan v'bo lahatzil. In our Mishnah, we're dealing with an act of saving, an act of carrying out in one shot. So in one shot, if it's one act of carrying, then we don't pay attention to the number of meals that are in the receptacle. And hence, as the Mishnah said, it's one basket that it can have even 100 meals worth of food in it. It's one action. It's one act of troubling yourself, which we call in Hebrew one act of tircha. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether there's a lot of food or a little bit of food in the basket. Khan, however, the earlier Mishnah, which spoke about three meals, Bebol Lekapel. Bol Lekapel is where you gather items together and you take them out one by one. Rashi says, Bebol Lekapel, Salim Harbe Zaims, you gather together a number of baskets, one with the other. Litroach ula osvam, you trouble yourself in gathering them. Velachzor ula hotzi, and then to carry them out. The Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara, where the Gemara explains these two points. Bo lahatzil matzlas kulon. If it's a one act of carrying out, so then we allow you to save as much as is in that basket, even if it's much more than three meals worth. Ba'al l'kapel, if it's an act of l'kapel, which indicates an individual type saving action, where you're gathering together food in the house and then putting it in a basket and carrying it out and then attempting to come back to take another one. So then we say, Eino mekapel ela mozon shalosh sudos. If it's a function, as we say, of gathering together food and then carrying it outside, so then you're allowed to do this for three meals worth and not more. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amarav, here's a second approach. Edi v'edi b'bola kapel. Both Mishnayos on Kuf Yud Zayin and here are dealing with this lekapel effort, where it's an act of gathering together and carrying out individually. V'lo kashya, kan l'oysa chotzer, kan l'chotzer acheres. The distinction he makes is between the regarding the destination. If it's to the chotzer attached to this house, then we allow a lot of acts of carrying out. And if it's into a chotzer, an adjoining chotzer that's not attached to this house, but it's another chotzer, then we limit you to three meals. Boy, Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna asks, Piresh taliso, v'kipel, v'hiniach, v'kipel, v'hiniach, mai. Here, he spreads out a large piece of cloth, and in the house where there is a fire. And he gathers together food in the house, lots of food, and puts it in this cloth, then rolls up the cloth with a lot of food in it, and carries it out in one act of carrying out. What is the din? Kibol lahatzil domi, is that like the lenient approach that Rav Huna mentioned, where your Rav Huna, meaning the first triangle, where he allows unlimited food because it's one act of carrying from the house to the outside, oy kibol lekapel domi, or do we focus on the fact that you don't have right now a container that has all the food in it. You have to gather it from different, you have to gather it in the house, and so you're doing many acts of gathering and putting it in the cloth. So we focus on that. Toshma, mid'omar Rava. So in order to answer this question, we look at Rava's teaching. Now, Rava says, Ate Rav Shizvi l'Rav Chisda v'dorash. Rav Shizvi confounded or made some type of erroneous statement to Rav Chisda, and based on that, Rav Chisda said the following. Now, what we're going to learn is based on a mistake. Therefore, what we have to do is then draw an inference or extrapolate from this statement to what would be correct, and then with that get an answer. So let's see what appears to be a mistake. The following is something Rav Chisda said based on the error of Rav Shizvi. Ubelvad shelo yovi kli shehu machzik yoyser misholosh seudos. This is a statement made, and Rashi explains this. This is a statement that's made based on a Mishnah we saw quoted in the Gemara earlier regarding a barrel of wine that broke on one's roof. And the Mishnah entitles the owner to put a vessel on the ground and accumulate, and the wine will flow into that receptacle, catching the dripping wine as it flows off the roof into this receptacle. Now, Rav Shizvi said erroneously, but he said you can bring a vessel to save the wine, provided you don't bring a vessel that holds more than 3 meals worth of wine. Now, that is a mistake. So, from the fact that that's a mistake, what are you really allowed to do? You're allowed to bring a vessel to catch the dripping wine, even if it holds a lot of wine, much more than 3 meals worth. And now, let's think about that. The vessel that you put down on the floor that's going to catch the dripping wine is like the case of gathering together and putting in one vessel, or in the singular cloth. Why is that? And Rashi explains, because the wine is dripping from the roof little by little. So it's like acts of gathering. And then you will have gathered a lot of wine in this one large vessel. So therefore, Shma Mino, the Gemara continues, Kibol Lahatzil Domi. The gathering together of food in the burning house and putting it into a singular cloth that will hold many meals worth of food is allowed to be done. then from this discussion, what we see is not allowed to be done, certainly according to Rav Huna, is many acts of carrying from the house into the outside. But one act of carrying from the house to the outside, if that one act of carrying contains a lot of food, it's okay. And it doesn't matter at this point in the Gemara, it doesn't matter how the food got into the one vessel that you're carrying outside. Was it there already? Or even if you're gathering it in the house and placing it in the large vessel or the large cloth, it's okay as long as you are troubling yourself only once in carrying it outside. However, if there are multiple acts of carrying out of the burning house, then we limit you to 3 meals worth and not any more. And of course, just to repeat ourselves, this was within the context of Rav Huna's approach. We continue in the Gemara. The last thing we read was Shma Mino Kibol Hatzil Domi V'Shapir Domi. And V'Shapir Domi means, and it is allowed. Omar Le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok LeRava. Rav Nachman asks Rava, Mai Ta'usa, what was the mistake? So we already explained what the mistake was by mentioning Rashi. But here the Gemara explains it. Omar Le, Dekotoni, it said in that Mishnah dealing with the barrel of wine that broke on the roof, it said there, Ubovat Shelo Yovi Kli Acher V'Yeklot Kli Acher V'Tzaref. The only objection that the Mishnah itself said was you can't bring a second vessel. In other words, once the barrel broke and is dripping off the roof, you can bring one vessel and put it on the floor and catch the dripping wine. But you're not allowed to bring another vessel and yiklot or yitzaref, that's to catch him in midair or attach the second vessel to the edge of the roof. Kli acher hu delo, the only objection as far as the Mishnah is concerned is bringing another vessel, aval balhu mona, but the one vessel that you put on the ground to catch the dripping wine, kama deboy, matzil, as much as you want, you are allowed. And that is as opposed to what Rav Chista had mentioned, that you're limited to a vessel holding only 3 meals worth of wine. The Gemara continues, the eagle shel devela, and the chule is going on the what we've written in between the lines, imhoyu pikhin oisin imoy cheshbon. This is a reference to the public that was invited to gather as well. And it says if they are wise, so they make a calculation with him after Shabbos. Cheshbon my avidite, what's the nature of the cheshbon? In other words, if you just translate the Mishnah, it would come out saying that those people who came to collect the food, the additional food from the burning house, make a calculation and then pay the owner for what they saved from the burning house. So here the Gemara is asking, why would they make any calculation to pay the owner? Mehef keiro kozochu, they gained ownership of it from hefker. Hefker is literally something that's unowned. A burning house is something that is considered of no value anymore. It's unowned in a sense. Rashi says, mehef keiro do hatzilu lochem komar luhu, when the owner proclaimed, save for yourselves, l'tzorchechem, for your own purposes, for you, for yourselves. The impikhim haim yakfu akol havilei lemisni. If they're smart, they'll just keep it all for themselves. So the Gemara's question once again is, why is there any need to make some kind of cheshbon? The Gemara answers, and we have the answer will come in, we'll call it 2 stages. First you have Rav Chisda and then Rava. Omar Rav Chisda, Midas Chasidus Shanu Kan. What we see in the Mishnah is an expression of extreme piety. People that want to pay. Omar Rava Chasidi Agro de Shabbato Shakli. If you're dealing with pious individuals, so would they take money for something that was, let's say, earned or gained on Shabbos? Let's take a look at the Rashi, Midas Chasidus Shemachzirim Lo. The Rav Chisda is saying that their return is an act of piety. Chasidi, the Gemara then, Rava then asks, Chasidi Agro de Shabbato Shakli Bitmiha. Im Chasidim Haim, if they are truly pious, yesh lohem levatir mishelohem b'chol dover sheyesh bo nidnud avera. If they're really pious, then they should avoid anything that has any hint of a sin. V'afagav delav schar Shabbos gomor hu, even though there's no real earnings of Shabbos here, sharei lo hisna umehefkeru kozahu, there was no condition stated over here, and they got what they got from hefker, miu chosid lo mikri, however, we wouldn't consider this an act of piety, Elohim came mevater mishelo, unless he totally forgives from that which might have been considered his. So if you're dealing with a Mishnah of Hasidim, so what kind of cheshbon is being made over here? The people who saved wouldn't be expected to give him back the food and take money from the owner. If they are really pious, they would just return everything to the owner. What's this business of them making a cheshbon and getting paid for it? Omar, therefore, Elo Omar Rovo, Hocha biyore shomayim askinon. Here, we're dealing with the person who did the saving is considered a God-fearing individual. Well, I just have to say that this concept of God-fearing is a lower level than a chassid. The chassid, as we just mentioned, would have been expected simply to, whatever he saved, give back to the owner and don't expect any payment. Rava is saying we're dealing with a yorei shamayim, velo nicholei delishani me'achirim. He doesn't want to keep it for himself. That would be to be zoiche mehefker. Right, that he wouldn't want to just keep it for himself, but on the other hand, ubechinom nami lo nichole delitrach, and to trouble himself for nothing, that also he wouldn't be prepared to do. The hachi ko'omar, and thusly we are to understand the Mishnah, and we have a frame around this because this is the Gemara's understanding of what the Tanaic source, the Mishnah, says. V'im hoyu pikhin, if they are wise. Now, and here, wise doesn't mean in terms of business matters, but the yadi, the chiyagavno lav schar Shabbos hu, they are wise in the sense that they know that you're not dealing with the prohibition of making money on Shabbos, that this is not considered schar Shabbos, namely that which they there was no precondition made that you get the food and then we'll make some kind of financial adjustment afterwards, but rather they acquire this from Hefker on Shabbos. Oisin imo cheshbon lachar Shabbos, so they can make some type of calculation after Shabbos, give the owner his food back and get paid for that. As we said, they weren't going to keep it for themselves because it's not something they enjoy getting something for nothing. However, on the other hand, we wouldn't have troubled themselves for nothing either, and hence they expect to get paid, and they make the cheshbon after Shabbos. Ulehechon matzilin v'chulei. The Gemara asks what we pointed out earlier, and we could take advantage of the third arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara and align it with the arrows above, and you'll see the question develops. Maishno Hocha dekotoni lochem, umayshno hocha dekotoni imi. Why is it that when it came to the saving of food, he says, "Ko, anyone who wants to come can save for yourselves." And when it came to the clothing saving, it was, "Anyone who wants to come can save together with me." The Gemara answers, "Amri gabi mezonos kotoni lochem." In the case of food, it used the word lochem for yourselves, mishum delo kochozi le, ela mozon shalosh sudos. As far as the owner is concerned, all that's useful to him is three meals worth of food. How much a person can't eat more than that. Avogabi levushim kotoni imi, together with me. In other words, the owner is not out of the picture here. Mishum de kochozi le kuleyoma. A person conceivably can can clothe himself, and person can change his clothing many, many times during the day, and that's all within the realm of reason. So since when it comes to clothing, you're not dealing with something limited, so all of the saving is, so to speak, together with the owner. The owner is not out of the picture. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan, the Tanaic source deals with the saving of clothing. Lovesh Umotzi, one clothes himself and carries out while wearing it, Uposhet, then takes it off. The Choser of Lovesh goes back into the house, puts on another article of clothing, Umotzi, Uposhet, Afilu Kolayom Kulo, Divrei Rebbe Meir, even if it's over the course of the whole day. So he's, in effect, taking out of the house through wearing the clothing, wearing it from inside to outside, many, many changes of clothing. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shmona Asor Kelim, 18 articles of clothing, the Eluhem Shmona Asor Kelim, and these are the 18 articles of clothing that a person normally wears at one time. And here we will have a list of 18 articles. Many of these we are not going to translate because Rashi presents them in French, and someone who is interested can pursue the old French in Rashi, as we've suggested on previous occasions. The main point for us has already been stated, and that is the allowance that Rabbi Yossi allows is the number of clothing that a person normally wears at one time and no more. So the list is miktoren. Rashi gives a French word for this, mantil, and mantil in languages other than French can also refer to a coat or a cloak of some kind. Unkeli, the unkeli, Rashi says lavush rachov. It's some type of wide article of clothing, and he gives a couple of French words for that. And the third item, upunda. Punda is a hollow belt. Kalbus shel pishton. Rashi gives for this a French word. Some translate this as a linen sleeveless tunic. And the choluk is a shirt. The apilios. Rashi on apilios, he has a slightly different spelling of this word. Apilion sodin lisatef bokulo. It's a sodin is a sheet that a person wraps himself entirely in it. The next is a ma'afores. Rashi says la'tof rosho, something that he wears around his head. Ushnei safrokin, ushnei min olin. The safrokin, so Rashi gives a French word for that. Shnei min olin are his two shoes. Shnei an pilos, two socks. Ushnei pargad. The pargad, Rashi gives a French word for that and also a German word. It might be a reference to breeches. V'chagor shebemosnov, something that he girds around his loins. And v'kova sheberosho, this is a hat on his head. And you can see that this is something that's we already made a reference to a head wrapping. So, but it's something else that a person legitimately wears during the day. So the kova shibrosho, a hat on his head, the sudor shibitsavaro, a type of scarf. The Mishnah. This Mishnah deals with the general topic of fires and what one can do to save items from being consumed in a fire. On the side of the Gemara Dara no Se heading, we've written Migun Bifnei Delega Ugram Kibui. Migun is protection or defense against a fire, and gram kibui has to do with causing of extinguishing, as opposed to direct extinguishing, an act of causing extinguishing. The Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Manas Omer, Porsin or shel gedi al gabi shido tevo migdal sheochaz bohen es haur. A person is allowed to spread over a gedi is a goat, that's a young goat. The or is the skin of a young goat, which is lach, Rashi says. It's damp, it's wet or damp. And he can spread it over these different types of boxes and chests. Shida, table, migdol, different types of boxes. She'ochaz ben u'ur means that the fire is caught on them. And what will happen is the mipneishu mecharech, the fire singes this or gedi halach, this or gedi. Rashi says at the bottom line, it's mecharech min ha'or. Ubilaz, Rashi has an interesting French word. In English, it sounds like retreat. V'eino nisraf, it doesn't get burnt. Mitoch kach u'megin al ha'teva. It's something that seems to act as a fire retardant, where the fire singes this thing, and then it appears to me that the fire will die out, and this will end up having protected the box with its contents. The Mishnah continues. V'oisin mechitza b'chol hakelim. One can set up a mechitza, a wall or a fence, by setting up a row of kelim, of vessels, in the path of the fire, so as to protect that which is on the other side of this mechitza that you will make. And the vessels are bein melein, bein reikonim, whether they are full or empty. In other words, even if they're full, they might be full of water. That would be okay. Bishvil shelo tavor adaleka. This is set up so as to prevent the flames from crossing over. Rabbi Yossi Oser b'klicheres chadoshim melein mayim. Rabbi Yossi is restrictive, and he says you cannot set up a mechitza, this fence of vessels that are clay, new clay vessels filled with water. Why? Lefi she'ein yicholim lekabel asor, because they're new, they haven't been time tested and heat tested, and therefore with contact with heat they will crack. Vehein misbakin, as we just said, they'll crack. U'mechaben esed leik, on the water that flows out will put out the fire. So Rabbi Yossi is restrictive in that sense. The Gemara, and we continue with this topic of fire prevention or defense or protection or saving from the destruction of a fire. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav, Talis she'ochaz bo hu'ur mitzad echad, an article of clothing that flame has caught on one side of it, one edge. Noisnin oleho mayim mitzad acher, you can pour water over another end of it. V'im kofsa kofsa, and if the fire goes out, so be it. The Gemara asks, Meisvei. We have an objection. Talis she'ochaz bo hu'ur, same scenario of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and talis she'ochaz bo hu'ur mitzad echad, an edge of an article of clothing that caught fire. Poishto miskase bo, a person can take it off and put it on. Ve'im kofsa kofsa, and if in the course of doing that if the flame goes out, so be it. V'chein sefer Torah she'ochaz bo hu'ur, likewise a Torah scroll that unfortunately a fire caught an end of it. Poshto v'korei bo, you can open it up and read from the Torah. V'im kovo kovo, if in that action the fire goes out, so okay. Now what do you see from here? That you see in this case that the solution is not nosnin oleo mayim, but poshto umiskase bo, as you can see, which we've emphasized with the dashed underline. So how do we resolve Rav Yehuda Amar Rav in light of this source? The Gemara answers, Hu de Omar Kirbi Shimon Menanos. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is based on the Tana in our Mishnah, the first Tana, namely Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon ben Nanos, who was more lenient. The Gemara asks, Amar, the Omar Rav Shimon ben Nanos, Mibneshu Mecharech. All Rav Shimon ben Nanos says is you can take the or gedi and spread it over the flaming the box or the chest that caught fire, because it singes. Gram kibui mi Omar, but does Rav Shimon ben Nanas allow the causing of extinguishing? The Gemara answers, in midiktani seifa, from the seifa we can work backwards and discover that Rav Shimon ben Nanas does allow gram kibui, the causing of extinguishing, which we associate here with the placing of the water in a way that the fire will meet the water and then go out. And how do we know that Rav Shimon ben Ananas allows that? Midiktoni Seifa, from the fact that in the Seifa it says, Rabbi Yossi Oser v'kli cheres chadosh malei mayim she'ein on yichon lekabel se'ur v'hem esbakin u'mechaben esadleka. Rabbi Yossi, which we already explained, he forbids the setting up of a wall of new clay vessels filled with water because they will crack and then that will extinguish the fire. That's him. That's Rabbi Yossi who is restrictive. Michlal, we infer the Tanakhama, sorry, that Rabbi Shimon ben Ananas would allow that. And hence, Rabbi Yudah Marav, who says that the talus that caught fire at one end, you can put pour water over the other end, and when the fire reaches the saturated part of the talus, it will go out. That's gram kibui, because it's called causative, but not direct. You're not pouring the water right on the fire. Tonu Rabbonan, ner shal gabi tavla. A ner is sometimes translated as a candle. In effect, it's a receptacle that, generally speaking, holds oil with a wick in it. And that's a ner. Al gabi tavla, it's on a tray. Menayer is a tavla, you can shake the tray. Vihi nofelas, and the ner falls. Vim kofsu kofsu, and if it goes out, it goes out. Tosfos explains something that seems to be essential to the pshat over here, and that is that we're talking about a burning wick, but there is no oil anymore. That's maybe at the tail end of the candles burning, where there's no oil. Because if there was oil, causing the shifting of oil in a burning candle is itself something that is forbidden. It would seem to be forbidden midoraisa. So that wouldn't be something we can be lenient with. So accepting Tosis's pshat, that we're dealing with Tosis's pshat sort of combining with what Rashi says, that it's talking about a burning candle, but there's no more fuel, no more oil that is fueling the wick. There is another pshat that Tosfos himself quotes from the Rishalmi, but we'll leave that aside for now. Amri debei Rebbe Yanai, lo shonu elod v'shochech. This heter of picking up the tray and tilting the tray and the nair falls over and goes out is only when the nair, this candle, was placed on the tray, was left there by mistake or forgot. He didn't intend for the nair to be on the tray over Shabbos. Avol b'meiniach, if a person knowingly placed the nair on the tray, on the tavla, for remaining there over Shabbos, one has no right, one is not allowed to move that tray. Nase bosis ledover also. The word bosis, like in English, basis. It's a base. It supports the dover also, the nair, which is a forbidden item with regard to Shabbos. Fire and dealing with the fire movement and fire burning and all that is also on Shabbos. So the nair is a dover also. The tray, therefore, is a bosis, a support of a dover also. And such items are forbidden to be moved. Tana, ner shachorei hadelos. We continue with the topic of fires and extinguishing, and on the side we have under our nosei heading kibui ner akif. That means a roundabout extinguishing of a ner. Minayer es hatavla. We saw that just now, the shaking of the tray, and the case of achorei delos, a candle that's burning in back of a door. So the Gemara continues with a Tanaic source, Tana ner shachorei hadeles, posech v'noel kedarko. You can open and close the door in a regular fashion. V'im kofsa, kofsa. And if it goes out, it goes out. The case of the ner shachorei hadeles is now, let's say, this teaching is ridiculed by Rav, layit alo Rav. Rav ridicules this. Omar Lay, now we have a question that lasts a couple of lines. You can see the long question marking to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Omar Lay, Ravino, the Rav Acho, Brei, de Rava. Ravino, the Amri law, Rav Acha, Brei de Rava, the Rav Ashi, another name, version of names. The question is raised, my time olayat ala Rav, why did Rav ridicule that which was taught in this source? In lemo mishum de Rav, sovalok Rabbi Huda, because Rav accepts Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, v'tana katoni lo k'Rabbi Shimon, and the Tana reflects Rabbi Shimon's opinion, namely, Rabbi Yehuda is strict with regard to what's called a dover she'eno miskavein, an act that you don't have intention for, but a forbidden result transpires. In this case, the nair that's in back of the door, when you open the door, well, the candle might go out. If it goes out, you didn't have an intention for that. You open the door so that you can walk in and out of the house. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda would be strict with regard to opening the door. And Rabbi Shimon, he is lenient with regard to a dovar sheino miskaven, an unintentional result. Is that what is bothering Rav? So the Gemara continues with a tone of wonderment. Mishum da Rav somalok Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rav happens to accept the restrictive opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, called the Tonik Rabbi Shimon Melet Layet Lay. Anyone who teaches the opinion of Rabbi Shimon deserves ridicule. Absolutely not. Omar Lay. So Ravashi answers, Beho Afilu Rabbi Shimon Mode. In this case of the Ner Shachori Adelis, even Rabbi Shimon would agree, the Abai and Rava, Dami Shavayu, both Abai and Rava say, Moide Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon concedes, B'psik reishe v'lo yomus. Rabbi Shimon, who is generally speaking lenient, however, when the result is inevitable, whereby opening the door, the candle will go out, even though you don't intend for it to go out, you intended to leave the room. But where the result is inevitable, like is the case of psik, which is known as psik reishe velo yomus, that's an expression for our purposes, even Rav Shimon concedes, therefore Rav ridiculed this, the teaching that we saw in the previous Tanaic source. We continue with the topic of extinguishing of fires. Omar Rav Yehuda, poisech odom delas keneged hamadura b'shabbos. Imagine a madura is a fireplace, so generally speaking, a large fire. And in this case, Rav Yehuda says one is allowed to open a door opposite the large fire. It seems that we're talking about an indoor fire, maybe something like a fireplace. And by opening the door, so the wind is now going to come and cause it to burn even greater. So, layet alo abaye. Abaye ridiculed Rav Yehuda's teaching. B'may askinon, what are the circumstances? Ilemo beruach mitsuyo. If talking about a normal wind. My time demand also, why would anyone forbid that? Abaye seems to reflect an opinion of restriction. A ruach mitsuyo, common wind, is not something that would cause the inflaming, the increased flaming of the fire. So it doesn't come in the under the realm of a psik reshe. Continuing in the Gemara, Iberuach Shene Mitzuya, if it's a gust wind blowing, my time will demand a shori. So why would Rav Yehuda allow opening a door on Shabbos while a gust wind is blowing? It will certainly cause the inflaming of the fireplace. Gemara answers, the Olam Beruach Mitzuya, we're talking about a normal wind blowing outside. More Sovar Gazrina, Rabbaye, who was restrictive, says we are not going to allow the opening of a door opposite a fireplace even under normal wind circumstances, because you might come to do that when there is a gust wind. That's called a gzero, this preventive type ruling. Umor sovar lo gazrina, and Rav Yehuda does not make a gzero, and therefore if it's since we're talking about a normal outdoor wind, there is no restriction, no problem in opening the door. It won't cause, at right now, it won't cause the increased flame to burn. Oisin mechitza, and then Rabbi Yossi Oser. In our Mishnah, we saw the Tanakhama saying you can make a wall of vessels in the path of a fire, even if it's filled with water, even if the vessels are filled with water and eventually they'll crack and put out the fire, and Rabbi Yossi is restrictive. The topic on the side of our Gemara is Gram Kibui, And we're going to touch on another topic, which will be brought in as part of the discussion, Mechikas Hashem, the erasing of the name of the Almighty that happens to be written. So we now continue in the Gemara, after presenting the two Shitas. Tanakama, called the Rabbonin, are lenient, and Rabbi Yossi restrictive. The Gemara asks, Lameimro de Rabbonin Savri Gram Kibui Mutter, for Rabbi Yossi Savar Gram Kibui Osir? Are we suggesting that the Rabbonin hold that causing of extinguishing is okay, and Rabbi Yossi says it's forbidden? Vo Ipcho Shaminon Lahu Desanya. We have heard them to say the opposite in the following Tanaic source. Oisin Mechitza Bekelim Rekonim Uvimleim Shein Darkon Lishtaber. One can make a wall of vessels, whether they're empty or full, but they don't normally crack. We're talking firm vessels that can stand heat. The Elu Mleim Shein Darkon Lishtaber. The following are examples of vessels that are not characteristic of breaking. Kli Matfis, metal vessels. Of course, a metal vessel is able to stand the heat of the fire. And so the Tanakhama says you can make a fence or a block, a wall of vessels made of metal. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Kli Kfar Shichin Ukli Kfar Chananyo Ein Darkon Lishtaber. Rabbi Yossi adds, so he appears to be more lenient. The Tanakhama restrictive, and Rabbi Yossi more lenient. He says these, even Kli Kfar Shichin, Rashi says these are clay vessels that are made from a type of clay that's very strong and don't ordinarily crack. So, if anything, Rabbi Yossi is more lenient. The Chitemo. Now, the question continues, and we should have pointed out earlier, but it's never too late. This is a long question. You can see from the long question marking that appears to meet at right hand side of the Gemara text. So the Gemara continues and says, "V'chitemo epuch masnisin v'Rabbi Yossi de Braisa." Let's read that again. "V'chitemo epuch masnisin." Maybe if you think you can answer that, switch around the Mishnah and in the Mishnah you'll have Rabbi Yossi being matir, Rabbi Yossi being the lenient opinion. For Rabbi Yossi de Braisa, in other words, when we say Rabbi Yossi is lenient, that means that Rabbi Yossi would allow Gram Kibui. And Rabbi Yossi de Braisa, the Rabbi Yossi that we see in this recent Tanaic source, L'Divrayim Ka'omar, he is simply saying something according to the Rabbonin. He's not reflecting his own opinion. Rabbi Yossi himself would say that all vessels are allowed, even if they crack and the water flows and puts out the fire, because I hold Gram Kibui as allowed. But you, who are restrictive, don't restrict it only to metal. You can include the examples of Kfar Shichin and Kfar Chananya. So if you think that that would be an approach to resolve things, namely that Rabbi Yossi is really a makil, is a shita that's makil, and that will come as a result of switching around the Mishnah. But still, mi motzis afis law. Can you really switch them around and say that Rabbi Yossi is matir v'omar rabo bar tachlifo mishmei de rav man tano gram kibui osur Rabbi Yossi? Rabo, in the name of Rav, says that who is it? Which is the Tana that says gram kibui is osur? It is Rabbi Yossi. So you see from here that Rabbi Yossi is a highly restrictive opinion. If that be the case, so what about Rabbi Yossi in the Tanaic source where he appears to be more lenient? Elo li'olam lo tepuch. Don't switch the shitas around. Rabbi Yossi really is restrictive. Ubraisa kula Rabbi Yossi. The Braisa, the last framed section we saw in the Gemara, Kula Rabbi Yossi, he really is totally Rabbi Yossi. Again, Rabbi Yossi is restrictive with regard to Gram Kibui, V'chisuri Mechaser, V'achi Kotani. And the following is the way we are to understand that source. And we have another frame to indicate this is the Gemara's understanding of the source. And the main point right now is that that most recent Tanaic source is not a reflection of two opinions. It's one opinion, and that of Rabbi Yossi. And here it is. Oisin mechitza bekelim reikonim, You can make a wall of empty vessels in the path of the fire. Notice we've dashed underline. This is the main point. And with full vessels, provided they can withstand the heat. So they may be full of water, but they can withstand the temperatures. V'elu hein kelim shein darkon lishtaber. The following are examples of vessels that do not break in, or don't crack in the heat. Kli matris, ukli kvar shichin, ukli kvar charanyo, nami ein darkon lishtaber. You have kli matris, and you have these kli kvar shichin, kli kvar charanyo, these other kinds of clay vessels also ein darkon lishtaber. Shrub Yossi Omer, and here notice, as Rabbi Yossi says, this is showing you that Rabbi Yossi is really a continuation. The beginning of this source was Rabbi Yossi, because as Rabbi Yossi says, Af kli kvar shichin ukli kvar chananya ein darkan lishtaber. He legitimizes or justifies them as being included in those things that do not crack. Up till this point, then, in the Gemara, what have we established? That Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to Gram Kibbutz, really is a Machmir. He is restrictive. And to set us up for the continuation of the Gemara, we'll say it in more general terms. When it comes to the issues of Goreim, of causing, causative actions, Rabbi Yossi is restrictive. Well, that having been said, the Rami de Rabbonon ad Rabbonon, the Rami de Rabbi Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi. Let us now raise a contradiction in these two opinions. De Sanyo. And we go to a different realm, and it has to do with the name of the Almighty, and the general halacha is that it's forbidden to erase the name of the Almighty. And that, in fact, is something based on psukim in the Torah, where the Torah describes you are expected to destroy idolatry, and it says, Lo sasun kein, Lashem, and anything that's divine, one is not allowed to do. So one is not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. What about the causing of the erasure? So now let's continue. Desanya, we have a source. Hare shohoyo shein kosuv lo al basaro. Imagine a person has the name of the Almighty written on his flesh. Hare ze lo yurchoitz velo yosuch velo yamud b'mokam atinoifas. He is not allowed to, yurchoitz is to bathe, not allowed to smear oils on it, and not allowed to stand in a dirty location. Nizdamna lo tvila shel mitzvah. Let's say the person needs to immerse himself in the mikveh. He has a mitzvah obligation of immersion. Now, what is he going to do? He's got the name of Hashem written on his flesh. We saw just a moment before he's not allowed to bathe. So, korech olel gemi, he wraps around the name that's on his flesh a piece of reed material, v'yorei v'tovel, and descends and immerses himself. Rabbi Yossi Omer, li'oilom yored v'tovel kedarko ubavad shelo yishav shef. Rabbi Yossi says he doesn't have to trouble himself with covering it with a reed. He descends in the normal way into the mikveh, and the only thing we expect of him is not to rub that limb with the name on it. What do we see then? We see that the Rabbonon are restrictive, that the gram mechika, the causing of the erasure, is forbidden. And they mention that you have to take preemptive measures in preventing the Shem Hashem from coming in contact, in direct contact, if you will, with the water by using the gemi, the reed covering. So and Rabbi Yossi wasn't concerned. If it gets erased, it gets erased. The Gemara says, Shiny Hossam. The case there is different. The Omar Kraw, the reason that Rabbi Yossi is mekil in the case of the immersion is as follows. The Pasuk says, V'ibadetem eshmo min amokom ahu, lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. We quoted this, we paraphrased this Pasuk earlier, that the Torah expects us to destroy the names of idols from the land of Israel, but one is not allowed to do thusly to the name of to Hashem. What does Rabbi Yossi see here? Asiya, we dashed underline lo sasun. So asiya means an action. Asiya huda asur, some type of proactive action is forbidden. Geroma shori. However, something that's passive or simply causative is allowed. Well, if that's how Rabbi Yossi approaches things, by looking at the pasuk and what it connotes, ihachi shachonami ksiv here to by Shabbos, and that's the topic we were dealing with before, the fire and the extinguishing of the fire on Shabbos. So with regard to Shabbos, it says lo sase komalocha, and you could darshan it asiu the osir gromashori, a direct extinguishing would be forbidden, but a causative action would be okay. The Gemara responds, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, in principle, you're right. However, with regard to Shabbos, there's an extra precaution. Since a person is confounded when he sees the loss of his possessions, of his money, if we allow him to set up a wall of vessels filled with water that would crack, Osi lichbuye. We're afraid he might come to put it out directly. So we restrict him so as to prevent him from pouring water directly on the fire. So as far as Rabbi Yossi's shita is concerned, we understand when it comes to the issue of gram in general, he is lenient. However, when it comes to a gram, a causative action of extinguishing a fire on Shabbos, there and only there, he is restrictive. Ihachi kashid rabbona adorabonan. But if so, we still have a contradiction in the shitas of the rabbonan, and the Gemara spells out what the problem is. Uma hasa, mind you, in Shabbos do the bala mamono shori. On Shabbos, we'll have a psychological consideration which would lead us to be stringent, and yet they are lenient. They allow the gram kibui hocha lo kol shekain. Here, in the case of the immersion in the mikveh with the shem Hashem, they should all the more so be lenient, where you don't have some type of consideration for stringency. So let's say this once again. Where there's room to be strict, the Rabbanan nevertheless are lenient. In a case where there's no special room to be strict, certainly they should be lenient. And yet, when it comes to the immersion in the mikveh, they say that you should wrap around the limb with the name of Almighty on it. So that's the question. However, the Gemara says things are still not clear. The Tisbara. Hi, Gemi, Hechi Domi. The Gemara says, let's just one second here. The Gemi, what is it? What are the circumstances around the reed that you wrap around the Shem Hashem? E demahadek, if it's a tight fit, if it's a tightly wound Gemi, then the whole immersion in the mikveh would be purposeless. Ko havi chatzitza would be an interposition, and that runs counter to the purpose of the immersion in the mikveh. And the person who immerses in the mikveh is expected to come in full body contact with the water without any interposition. E lo mahadik, if it's not a tight fit, aili be maya, then water will get in, and if the goal is to protect the Shem Hashem, then nothing has been accomplished. We have a bracketed section, and the purpose of these brackets is to indicate that the basic question has been asked. Mainly, the purpose of the Gemi is simply not clear right now. The Gemara will then answer the purpose of the Gemi after the brackets, where the Gemara says, Elo Omar Rovo Bar Rav Shilo Hainu Tamayo Drabonan. There they will be explained. In the meantime, though, in the brackets, the Gemara takes off on the point of chatzitza. Up till now, we're saying maybe the Gemi presents a chatzitza problem. So within the brackets, now let's continue in the Gemara in the brackets. Chatzitza, tepuk le mishum dio. If you're worried about an interposition, doesn't the ink present a chatzitza problem? The dio, the ink that's used to write the Shem Hashem on one's flesh. So even without the Gemi, isn't there already a chatzitza problem? The Gemara says no. Belecho. We're talking about wet ink. It hasn't fully dried. The Sanyo, and the Tanaic source tells us that if something that is wet is on someone's flesh, it does not pose a chatzitza problem. As it says, Hadam, blood, Vahadyo, ink, Hadvash, honey, Vacholov, and milk. Yevashin choitzin lachem. If they're dried and they're on your flesh, they present a chatzitza problem. However, if they are not, they are blach, they're damp, they are not a chatzitza. So the issue of the chatzitza is a non-issue. The issue of the dyo is a non-issue, because we're talking about lach, it's damp. Mikol mokom kashya, but the original question remains, what are the circumstances surrounding the gemi? Elo omar rovo ba rav shilo. Hainu tamayu de rabbonon. The reason the rabbonon are machmir with regard to the shem Hashem, in other words, it's only in the case of the shem Hashem are they machmir and not in the case of the gram kipui. Why here are they machmir? Because savri osu lamo b'fnei Hashem orum. It's forbidden to stand naked in front of the Shem Hashem. So a person is going into the mikveh naturally is unclothed. So it has to, the Shem Hashem has to be covered, and that's the purpose of the gemi. And it's fair to assume that the gemi will not be tightly wrapped, otherwise it really would be a chatzitza. And as we just mentioned, the Rabbanan don't have any fundamental opposition to goreim. So the Gemara asks, okay, so that's the Rabbanan's position. Michlal de Rabbi Yossi, who said you don't need to wrap it around, sabar mutur lamod b'fnei Hashem orum, what, he's lenient and says you can stand unclothed in the presence of the name of the Almighty? So no, he's not. He says, demonach yodele, Rabbi Yossi says you can just cover your hand, cover it with your hand. So the Gemara asks the Rabbanan, Ami de Monach Yodele, so why don't the Rabbanan say the same thing? Why do they need a gemi? Well, the answer to that is, Zimnin de Mishtali Vishokile, he might forget himself and remove his hand, therefore put the gemi over it. The question, Rabbi Yossi, Nami Zimnin de Mishtali Vishokile, doesn't the same fear apply to Rabbi Yossi? Why does he rely on the hand covering? Elo I de Iko gemi hochinami. Truth is that if there is gemi, even Rabbi Yossi would say, use the gemi and wrap it around the Shem Hashem. Hocha b'mayaskina la duria gemi. Here, the machlokis that we saw in the Tanaic source above regarding the Shem Hashem on a person's flesh, and the gemi is the aduri, is to seek out, to look for some reed. We're dealing with a person that the time for his immersion has come. It's now the time. And the Gemara continues, Rabbonon Safri, the Rabbonon said that you need the Gemi, they hold, we continue at the top of Kuf Chof Aleph, Omed Aleph, Tevilo Bizmano Lav Mitzvah. The idea of immersion in a mikveh, right at the right time, at the moment that the obligation arrives, as opposed to delaying the immersion, being toivel at its time is not a mitzvah. It's not a major consideration in a person's behavior. And therefore, umadrinan. So look, it's more important for them, for the Rabbanan, to look for a gemi to cover the Shem Hashem. Even though, until you find the gemi, the time might pass and you'll immerse already after the time. In other words, in a delay. Rashi on the second line from the top, Rav Mitzvah, V'ilo Mashkech Gemi Lidna, and if you don't find the gemi right now, Lishti Ad L'mocher, so wait till tomorrow. Ulamandar Malav Mitzvah, and according to the opinion that says Tvila Bizman is not a mitzvah, Kroy Tzatoiva Kamashim Lon, the pasuk that Rashi cited on the top line was simply a good piece of advice, Kadesh Yarev Shimsho Biyom La'achar Tvila, so that he'll benefit from the sunset immediately after his Tvila. The sunset is a necessary component in achieving purification. Shim Yamtim Lipa Adalaila, if a person delays and immerses himself at night, Lo Ye Lo Erev Shemesh Ad Leo LaMochros, he won't have the benefit of a sunset until tomorrow's sunset. It'll be then restricted from, let's say, the eating of Truma, being that he had been Tomei and immersed, but following an immersion, there must be a sunset. So we'll have another full day of restriction. But as far as the pasuk which Rashi quoted at the top line, which said "V'hoyu lifnois erev yirchas b'mayim," that pasuk was simply a piece of good advice to toivel before sundown, before the immediate sundown. The Gemara continues at the top line of the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Rabbi Yossi, who says, if you don't have a gemi, so forget about it and just put your hand over the Shem Hashem. Tevila bizmano mitzvah. The idea of catching tevila at the first time that you can perform the tevila is a mitzvah. V'lo mavrin, and we don't seek out the gemi, which would come at the expense of being toivel bizmanoi. We continue in the Gemara, and we do have a topic heading on the side, Tevila Bizmano Ihavi Mitzvah. We continue looking into this matter. The question that is raised now lasts a few lines, and we have a long question mark, and you can see, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, V'sovar Rabbi Yossi Tevila Bizmano Mitzvah. Does Rabbi Yossi really reflect that opinion? V'hatanya. We have the following source. Hazov v'hazova v'hametzora v'hametzoras boyel nido v'tomei meis tvilosan b'yom. Here is a list of different types of tomei individuals that the time for their immersion is during daytime hours. We have another list is presented. Nido v'yoledes, a menstrual woman and a woman who gave birth, tvilosan b'layla. Those types of tuma require tvila at night. Balkeri toiva v'holech kol hayom kulo. A Balkeri, person, a male who experienced an emission, he is entitled to be toivel, to immerse throughout the day. Rabbi Yossi Omer, min ha-mincha ulamalo, eino tzorech litbol. From mincha onwards, he does not immerse. Now, we should have pointed out, but it's never too late, this source is dealing with Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur is a day that is forbidden in bathing. However, if a person has a mikveh, immersion in a mikveh is not the equivalent of bathing. However, the immersion in the mikveh should have ramifications for that very day. So in this source, bearing in mind that we're talking about Yom Kippur, These people are nevertheless allowed to be tovel. Now, amongst the different people mentioned in this source was a Balkeri. A Balkeri is a man that experienced a semen immersion, and he needs to be tovel in order to engage in Torah study. And, of course, we're talking about what's known as Tevilas Ezra. And as we've mentioned many times in the past, we're not dealing in the Gemara markings Shi'ur, Daf Yomi Shi'ur, with Halacha Lemaisa. So let's leave that as a separate issue. But as far as this source is concerned, a person who experienced keri needs to be toivel for the purposes of Torah study and prayer. So that even though we're not dealing with someone that needs to immerse himself for eating purposes, which he's not allowed to do because it's Yom Kippur, he's not going to be eating anything. Nevertheless, for Torah matters, he is allowed to be tovel. Now, in this source, it was mentioned that the Tanakhama holds the Balkeri can be tovel even up to the last minutes of Yom Kippur day. That means, even though, let us say, he davened mincha already, this person could actually wait till darkness and be tovel, and his tevila would then be useful for his arvis, his motzoi Yom Kippur davening. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama says he can be tovel on Yom Kippur day. Even though Yom Kippur is a day that's usher to bathe, nevertheless, this is an example of tevila bizmano, doing the tevila at the first time that you become obligated in it. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says, min ha-mincha lamala eino. Eino, there's a girsa actually that says here Eino Yochol, that he's not allowed to be Toivel. Why? Well, because he's davened already. He's davened the Yom Kippur Mincha davening, And if you ask, what about Ne'ilah? Ne'ilah, you can actually daven at night. So, therefore, if he davened already and then experienced the keri, Rabbi Yossi says, you're not allowed to be tovel. So a moment ago, meaning on the third line, or the top line of the Gemara, we had Rabbi Yossi says, tefila b'zman ha-mitzvah. Here you have Rabbi Yossi saying that even though the zman of the tefila arrives on Yom Kippur, but since he's already davened, he is not allowed to be tovel. So what happened, whatever happened to tefila b'zman ha-mitzvah? We know that if tefila b'zman was a mitzvah, you would have been allowed to be tovel. But apparently Rabbi Yossi holds tefila b'zmano is not a mitzvah. And since the tefila isn't coming to allow something practical for Yom Kippur, so wait till the evening. The Gemara answers, Hahi Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehudahi. This Yom Kippur source is not Rabbi Yossi that we saw before, Rabbi Yossi with the Gemi. This is a different person. It's Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, that says, Daya tefila b'achrona. In the context of our Gemara markings here, we're simply going to say that this is an opinion that says that you don't have to catch the tefillah at the moment, at the first moment, and it deals with a case that's a very involved topic that's featured in Maseches Nidah. We are not going to get into all of the calculations. Rashi touches upon it, but suffice it to say that Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that tevila b'zmana is not a mitzvah, and therefore we say to the woman in the case of Maseches Nidah, it's enough that she's tovel once at the end, even though we're not covering all bases to catch her tevila at the right time, because that's not important. That tevila b'zmana is not a mitzvah. But Rabbi Yossi, that we saw in the case of the Gemi, Rabbi Yossi holds tefila b'zmana, mitzvah, and therefore don't look for the Gemi if it's going to come at the expense of catching tefila at the right time, or at the first opportunity. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.